It's Thursday, June 30th, and you're tuned in to the TNW podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm 50% Pocky.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Coming up this week, yo, guess what? We're still not done talking about video games.
Our title was a lie. The games keep coming.
Yeah.
And they don't stop coming.
But don't worry, we got games we've been playing.
Something hit the ground running.
And we got questions to answer. And there's other and fun stuff in the news cycle. Anthony.
What's up?
When I say Yamaha, what comes to mind?
Kawasaki.
So motorcycles.
Yeah.
All right.
That's exactly, yeah. It's whenever I hear the Yamaha, it's either VCRs or motorcycles.
Wow. All right.
Why is that not the answer you were looking for?
I thought you, of all people, would answer in the not popular manner, but okay. You failed me.
All right. Okay.
All right.
What's the hipster manner that I should have answered?
Piano.
Oh, true. They do make pianos. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just came up in a conversation the other day about Yamaha and blah, blah, blah. And the reason they have such nice sounding exhausts is because they have a they're a big player in the music game. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's right.
Huh. Wait, Yamaha makes cars?
Yeah. They make engines.
Oh, they do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they do.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How do they keep that together?
Yeah. That's why their bikes always sound so cool, because they're tuned specifically with the help of their music division.
True.
Which always blows my mind, but it is, I don't know, one of those things that just came up in conversation the other day. And I was like, oh, well, what do you know? Cool.
Nice.
Anyways, not vehicle related. The Nintendo Direct Mini happened.
Wait, hold on.
This week.
What, are you going to buy a Yamaha exhaust? Is that what you're getting at here?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. You just brought it up.
Yeah. All right. It was just one of those things.
I was like, where? How's this going to? Why didn't this transition to something else? What happened here?
Nothing. Sometimes when my mind's just occupied, I'm like, yeah, okay, I have to discuss. I have to get
this out of my system.
I have to ask you the question before I forget it, and it'll annoy me when you're gone. I'm like, okay. Well, anyways, right. It doesn't matter. You failed me.
Well, they can all be winners, you know?
So far, no one has answered piano.
Yeah.
Everyone's always been like, bike.
Because the Yamaha's like the poor person's piano. All right.
I wouldn't say that.
It's not a Steinway and Sons. Come on.
I think Yamaha's still at the upper end.
Yeah.
Like, it's not exactly Casio.
Yeah, but it's like, what's it called? You know, when you always talk about how, like, the poor rich kids of the group have the low-end Mercedes?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like, yeah, you have a grand piano. That's pretty cool, but it's a Yamaha. Like,
I don't know, man. Some Yamahas are sick.
True. You're right.
Anyways, sure.
Back to the other transition. Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, they are definitely not in the music game or the motorcycle game.
Yeah, because they won't release their goddamn soundtracks anywhere, Nintendo. All right? Just let me buy your soundtracks.
I think it's on Apple Music.
No, I want to own the MP3s.
No.
Give me some FLAC.
No.
Files. Lossless audio.
So let's go through it. Nintendo Direct Mini. About 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Of games. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I do like the Nintendo Direct format because they just line up trailer after trailer.
True.
As opposed to, like, I get it. Sometimes it's fun hearing the developer talk, but I don't need them to, like, have a big show. Someone walk on stage to be like, we've worked for the past 5 years to have you look at this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't waste my time. Anyways, would you like to lead us through this?
All right. We got a list of games. If this is your first time here.
It's not.
If it is, just in case.
It's my
50th. We're gonna start listing off everything that was announced, and then we're only gonna talk about what we think is cool.
All right,
Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah, whatever.
They had the Basil Goose. Basil
okay,
Geese.
Great.
All right, that game's out now. We're gonna talk about it later. Nier game, not Game of the Yorha, the End of Yorha edition.
Oh yeah, End of Yorha edition.
Yeah, End of Yorha edition. It's got new costumes, but it's Nier Automata. You've played it already.
Yeah.
This game, everybody, if you haven't played this game already, you're not a gamer. I don't
think. Yeah, also, it looks like shit.
It looks like a doo-doo.
It looks like ass on the Switch.
Those jaggies, though. Something and Laser Eyes. Do you remember what the title of this one was?
And Laser Eyes. Yeah. Is this the detective one?
The detective one, yeah.
No. This is an Annapurna game?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't
it
care.
Was published by Annapurna. What I forget ifs? Who was the developer. I think TJ liked them. Simoga? What do they do?
What?
Oh, they did a bunch of puzzle adventure games on the Apple Store? Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes.
All right.
I thought this game looked cool. It had a cool aesthetic.
Nah.
But I don't know if it's in my wheelhouse.
Nah.
Dude, but the realest video game. Mm. Bomberman, Super Bomberman R2.
It's not 64.
You're right, because it has 64-player Battle Royale mode.
Mm.
Hell yeah.
I don't know.
I'm feeling about that. It sounds a little chaotic.
Mm.
After that, we got Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection.
Yeah, that's cool.
What are you talking? It's cool. What?
What's wrong with being cool?
I don't know. It's the way you said it, you know?
Yeah, it's cool.
Got to give it some more respect.
It's cool.
It's 10, all or not all 10, because they had a bunch of 3DS ones that changed the formula. But it's 10 Battle Network games that from the GBA up until, I think, the DS. Like, 6 had the DS, DJ? Yeah. And, yeah, you can play them all. It's got, like, hundreds of songs for the soundtracks from all the games. Those games aren't long, because they're GBA games, mostly.
So, you said there's 10 games?
10.
How many generations are there?
Generations? I think 6.
Because there's one.
There's one.
Two.
And two. And then like 3 red, blue, 4. Was it 4 red, blue? Or was 3? They're releasing all the versions. So it's Mega Man Battle Network 1 to 6. But all the ones that had 2 versions,
oh, so
they give you
gens.
Both versions.
Because I thought one of the generations had like 3.
I thought that was the 3DS one.
Oh.
Was it?
Star Force?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was the one where it was behind the back and you only had one row. I didn't like that. That was weird. I don't think those are in it. I think it only goes up to 6,
okay.
Which I believe was on the DS. So yeah, you can get all those. It's going in that Mega Man Legacy Collection. And I don't know. I love these games. It looks good.
Have you played all of them?
I've played up to 3, and then I fell off. And then I tried to play that 3DS one, and then it wasn't good.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to going back to this. And also, this is going to hopefully revitalize the Mega Man Battle Network esports scene.
There was a scene?
Hell yeah. Because since it started, they've been having to bring their Game Boy Advances to do these multiplayer battles.
Okay.
But now they have a more modern way to do it.
All right. So Network 1, 2, 3 White, 3 Blue, 4 Red Sun, 4 Blue Moon, 5 Team Proto Man, 5 Team Colonel, 6 Psy Beast Gregar, and 6 Psy Beast Falzar.
Yeah.
What?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Listen to those names, baby. Falzar.
Like, it just got infinitely more complex towards the end.
Oh, yeah. And then you should have seen the 3DS ones where they get, like, space names and shit.
Like, it went from White to Psy Beast Falzar.
These games are great. These games are so good. You could jack into anything with a network connection.
If only.
Jack in Mega Man.
If only.
The guy's name is Lan. It's pretty sick.
I always pronounce it Lon.
Lon? Well, we can ask our listener.
I think it's Lan.
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Then after that, we got Pac-Man World Repack,
nah.
The remake.
Nah.
Yeah, nobody kind of cares about Blanc.
Oh,
this is the deer and wolf game.
I just can't wait until the fucking wolf eats the deer.
I feel like that's the ending.
That is the ending.
That's got to be the ending.
Because guess what? It's winter and we're all hungry.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, we went through this adventure, we like bonded and blah, blah, blah. But when push comes to shove, nature's nature, baby.
Do you think it's like the deer's going to fall, break its leg, and the wolf's like, I'm going to end you now?
No, I think it's going to be like they're both at like their dire straits because it's like it's winter, right?
Yeah.
So food's going to be scarce.
Yeah.
And they're both going to be starving and on the verge. And the deer's going to be like, oh, we can hang out together, bro. We're vegetarians or whatever. And the wolf's going to be like, nah, I'm going to eat you.
Hope so.
And it's just going to be nature.
That's the ending I can't wait to see.
We'll see. But that's coming out February 2023.
Okay.
It looks like a very artsy game.
Yeah, that's why the game's black and white.
True.
Because it doesn't want to show you how violent it gets.
Yeah. It's going to be fucking Schindler's List.
I thought you were going to say, what's that game that was on the Wii? Mad
World?
Mad World.
Or Mad World, yeah. It's going to be Mad World. The only red is blood.
Yes.
And the only red in the game is going to be at the very end scene.
How
the deer
artistic.
Dies. I know, right? Not rote at all. Goddamn. Return to Monkey Island, coming out this year at some point.
You know, I've never played Monkey Island.
I played the original. Remember when like archive.org released like 500 free games that are all archived now? Whatever. I found it on there and I was like, I'll play that. And then I got stuck immediately and I was like, I'm good.
I
don't know. It's adventure. I've never been too into like just the point and click adventure style. There's been like a couple I've done, like the Telltale games, obviously, are like more modern examples.
Yeah.
I think I played through Full Throttle at some point. or one of the Sam and Max games.
I think the, yeah, there's that one. I guess visual novels is probably the other one.
Yeah, I guess you could, yeah, visual novels would count, yeah.
Right, yeah.
It looks cool. I read a couple news stories that the creator of the series had to like stop talking about the game because he kept getting like personal threats and attacks and shit. I'm like, wow, gamer community, good good on you, losers. Holy shit. But I think the game looks really good. I think the art style is really cool and it really fits the style of that game.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's just unfortunately not something that I have like super reverence for.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll come out good.
Yeah.
Mario Rabbids 2 Sparks of Hope, October 20th. This is the Mario Rabbids XCOM game with Ubisoft.
Yep.
Mario has a gun and they're changing up the gameplay style. So it's not like tile based, but you can kind of move around within a circle freely. Yeah. And then set up a bunch of stuff before you use your gun to end your turn.
Okay.
So it seems like it's going to be a lot of like combo plays and stuff like that. It's less XCOM, more free flow.
Yeah, looks way more boring.
You want nitty gritty 90% headshot on a Goomba?
I mean, like that was the only reason that made that first game interesting.
Yeah, true.
Because now, at this point, it's a like baby game. You've made it like a platformer again. But like inside of a battle system.
Yeah, and it's got like not randomized battles, but like the Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like I like that stuff. Like it's like a Tales game, but I don't know.
This one we all thought was pretty cool, but we had no idea if we were ever going to play it. Was a Little Noah Scion of Paradise.
Yep.
The 2D Pikmin action game. She was fighting the Titan.
Why'd you say Pikmin?
Because she had like a bunch of little like dudes there.
Dude, you like can't say this. Pikmin is not the correct.
Maybe, but
like
I don't
the
know.
More apt comparison is the eggs in Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, but they're like the eggs aren't sentient, dude. Like
same shit. What are we talking about?
Then I don't know. I've always felt like the Pikmin and the eggs are the kind of the service.
Because you
purpose.
Say Pikmin, I think of a completely different game.
Fair enough. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. She's got Yoshi eggs and she's fighting around. That looks pretty cool. Rail Grade. Do you want to?
Yo, trains though.
Yeah, you want an efficiency sim for trains?
Give me that Thomas DLC.
Oh, that'd be a nightmare, goddamn. I don't care. It's coming out in the fall. RPG Time, The Legend of Wright.
Might be the coolest game.
This game was probably the coolest looking thing.
Actually, no, it wasn't. Event. I take it back.
You're right, because Alive was the best.
No.
One. Oh, you love Blanc.
No.
Yeah, I remember.
But RPG Time looks awesome.
Yeah, so this game is like an RPG that takes place within a kid's notebook. And
I thought it was an adult, like it's an actual writer.
Oh, I don't know. It looked like a kid, like when they showed
what
the
kid is drawing like that?
Some talented kid.
He whips at the calculator.
Yeah, true.
And the storyboarding. It's a
maybe he's way into art.
Dude, it's a novelist.
Maybe some kid's a novelist. All right, these youngins they're coming up quick now. And the RPG takes place within the notebook, and you can use like pencils and erasers to change up the drawing in ways to complete puzzles. But then also there's a bunch of combat and stuff too. Like, I don't know. It just, oh, I got this, but it's not coming. It just looked like one of the kind of more unique games I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It did remind me a little bit of, remember David Jaffe's last game, Drawn to Death?
Yeah, that was shit.
The arena shooter, but it was like the comics and stuff.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, it was shit. You're correct. But this looks like that style done in a more appropriate like setting.
I don't know if I see that.
We'll see.
All right.
I don't know. It's coming out. Sonic Frontiers. Oh yeah, sorry. Wings of Wright, or Legend of Wright is August 18th. Mm. Sonic Frontiers. It's not an open world Sonic game.
Uh-huh.
It is the open zone Sonic game.
Man, you really are into these marketing terms,
dude.
Huh?
Open zone, it's so stupid, like, but it's on brand.
Like sometimes when I think about how the dumb shit that goes on in marketing, I'm like, why? And I remember for people like
hell you, yeah, that shit, I would have came up with that sounds sick. Dude, I would have came up with open zone because it's like Green Hill Zone, Casino Zone, or whatever the other fuck that zone's called. All right,
it's Electric City.
Who cares?
Okay,
all right, Sonic is dead. Except for this game.
I was going to say, what are you talking about? Sonic has never been more alive.
He's jumping around.
He's got two
stuff.
Movies.
Oh, true. And was it Ugly Sonic is in the Chippendale one?
Dude, like Sonic has never been more relevant. True.
He's doing what Nintendo.
Exactly.
God damn.
Because Mario's Chris Pratt.
Did you see the quote from him?
Yeah, his voice.
His voice is like nothing you've ever heard before. Oh my god! Like, what a troll! He knows what he's doing. You can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, he does know what he's doing.
What a dick!
Jeez.
But yeah, Sonic Frontiers is sometime this holiday.
Yeah.
It is open zone Sonic. Every time I see a new Sonic game, I'm like, that's a cool idea for Sonic. And then it either comes out and someone's like, it's shit. Or it comes out and then someone's like, no, this one's really good. But then there's been so many shit games that I don't believe them. So.
But this one's got air combos.
This one does have air combos. And he's like, was it 2B dashing around people? He's got the parry. Insta-kill parry? Yeah, I don't know.
This one that has, I think, like, free-running / Mirror's Edge style, just, like, speed time attack courses.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Damn. It looks pretty cool.
Hmm.
Will I play it? Maybe on sale.
Okay.
Live Alive.
Nope.
It's just the final... What? Dude, you just... Oh, sorry, not Live Alive. Oh, you're right. Not Nope. Disney Dreamlight Valley.
How are you going to skip this
I
one?
How could I, honestly? This fucking dog shit... piece of garbage.
I can't believe this was shown.
I think TJ said it best, where it's like, this is just Disneyland. Or did you say that?
No, it wasn't me. Yeah. I said this is Kingdom Hearts.
Oh yeah, you did say it was Kingdom Hearts. TJ said it was like, this is just Disneyland. And then I was like, that's why it's gonna sell a billion copies.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so sad. You build a real life person to hang around Disneyland, but the toys are alive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who does this appeal to?
Everyone.
Does it? September 6th.
It appeals to everybody who actually bought a Switch.
I bought a Switch. You bought a Switch.
Yeah, everyone who still actually uses their Switch.
Do you appeal? Does it appeal to you?
No, it's to everyone who uses their Switch.
Dude, you just used it to download our next game, Live Alive.
Yeah.
July 22nd. Are you going to play it?
Let's be real.
Are you going to play Live Alive?
No.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
So the Live Alive demo is out now. I think the launch date of July 22nd was done before already, or it was announced before.
Oh, that's this month.
Yep. Or, I guess, yeah.
Sure.
Tomorrow is the first. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure.
So, yeah, you can download the demo. It takes you through three timelines, and all of the save data from the demo transfers over to the full game. Check that out. Live. I've played, like, a fan-translated version, like, a long time ago.
And
I liked it. I never finished it, but from what I played of it,
it was good.
It is a quality, like, that era RPG.
Okay.
So I'm pretty excited for this to come as an official thing in English for the first time ever, so it's cool. Doraemon is in the scene with a Story of Seasons game.
Okay.
Doraemon Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom. This is just, if you've seen Story of Seasons or if you've seen any sort of like anime version of Harvest Moon.
I'd argue Harvest Moon is anime.
Yeah, but like, you know, when you look at Harvest Moon, you're like, okay, that's kind of anime. And then you look at like Rune Factory and you're like, that's anime.
No, they both look anime to me.
I think one looks more anime than the other.
What are you talking about? Harvest Moon looks like Doraemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it looks like that era, like Conan and stuff.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just, I don't know, for some reason. The Harvest Moon knockoffs.
Such a typical anime
thing. Yeah, all the Harvest Moon knockoffs look more anime than Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon looks like a Miyazaki version of anime.
Yeah, and you know what? I would say that Miyazaki anime looks less anime than like...
It looks 100% anime.
Or like the Demon Slayer movie.
I don't know. I think it all looks anime.
It's definitely all animated. I will give you that.
No, anime. I said Japanime.
Japanimation. All right. Goddamn. Minecraft Legends.
Great.
Nobody cares. Dragon Quest Treasures. This was announced, I believe, at the Xbox conference.
So, is this another RPG? What is this?
It looks like it, but you have
nothing.
Monsters that you can ride, and you got to go get treasure to be evaluated at the pawn shop, at the Dragon Quest pawn shop. I don't know. I don't know what this game is. Haven't shown enough. It's got the charm because it is Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
But whatever. They had a couple things in like that montage for a bit. They had No Man's Sky, some other games. The one I think that caught our eye was Captain Velvet Meteor something.
This is the tactics?
Yeah, it looks like a tactic style grid-based game. I didn't catch the full name before it zoomed off the screen.
No, I think that's it. Captain Velvet Meteor.
Oh, is that? I got it all? Nice.
Brings Jump manga heroes to the Switch.
Oh, baby. Why didn't they put a whole feature for that? What the fuck? All right. Well, that sounds cool as fuck.
Because it's Captain Velvet Meteor, the Jump Plus Dimensions.
That's the other part of it.
Okay. I'm far more interested.
Dude, can I get Ichigo as a tile-based tactics game?
No.
Why not?
You can't.
Why? What about Chainsaw Man? Can I do that?
No.
He's new.
No.
Fuck.
But cool.
Yeah, that's definitely, I feel like, more up your guys' alleys than mine.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
We'll see as it comes out. Portal Companion Collection.
Nah.
All right. Harvestella.
Oh, yeah. This is the coolest game.
The Square Life Sim RPG.
This is the one. This is the one.
This is the Harvest Moon game.
This is the one.
This is the farming game.
This is the all farming game. This is games. The coolest game.
It's so you gotta do Harvest Moon. You gotta do Stardew Valley. You know, you make your 3x3 grids of plants, do a bunch of stuff. But then what was it? The reaping season? Something edgy like that.
Yeah.
And it comes and kills all your crops.
Yeah.
So you have to do one season of like farming and adventuring and another season of surviving. But were the battles turn based? Do you remember?
I don't know.
This game looked insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. I probably game of the show.
Hmm.
Also, this game looks too good to just be on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. So it's on PC.
Okay, so play it on PC most likely, because I don't think the Switch can handle this game or like what they set out for the idea of this game. So
yeah,
check that out.
Looks cool.
And then they announced the Persona 4, 3, 4, and 5 is also coming to Switch.
I mean, like, I guess that's a good platform for 3 and 4. I would still say 5 Royal is worth playing on something else.
Yeah, it's on everything now, apparently. So play it on something with some power.
You know, I never played Golden.
I also never played Golden.
I just watched it.
What? Oh, you're casual.
The anime.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Wait, that was the cool one where they had Persona 4 the animation.
Yeah.
And then they did Persona 4 Golden the animation, but that acted as like a new game plus.
Yeah.
And yeah,
the main character had infinite power.
And he had all of the, he could pick all of the cool dialogue options. Okay, I gotta watch those. Those seem like a cool idea.
That was gold in the animation. It was wild.
That sounds fun. Were those only 12 episodes each?
No, Persona 4 was the full 24.
Yeah.
The golden was only 12.
I wonder if I could fit that into a marathon day with my friends.
It's a long day.
It is a long day. We'd have to start early.
Mm.
We'll see. But that's the Nintendo Direct. Probably the game of show was Harvestella. Looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, the Switch is starting to age.
What do you mean starting?
Starting.
What do you mean starting?
I don't know. I feel like when they put the non-cloud versions of like PS4 games, like I'm really starting to feel it, especially with the near release.
Bro, you mean you didn't feel it the day it released?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man.
I was like, this is doing pretty good. This looks pretty, it's not the best.
I think anything other than Breath of the Wild is like, this shit's old.
Yeah, I think more people need to stylize their games for the Switch rather than just like push polygon count.
Yeah, but even that, like, I don't know. I really hope Breath of the Wild 2 is on a new system.
Switch Pro.
Or 2.
Switch 2 Pro.
Yeah, or Switch Up.
Switch Up.
You love it.
That's pretty good. God damn. Or the Switch Aru. No, that one's lame.
No, that's so lame.
That one's
try hard. Do better.
Do
be better.
Listen, this is a judgment free zone. We're just gonna throw ideas at the
wall.
What
are you talking about? I'm Mr. Judgmental.
Sticks, dude. This is why we bought the whiteboard.
Gross.
We're going to throw ideas so they're not permanent.
Well, it looks like all your picks are all gaming related, so we might as well continue.
All my picks are all gaming related. Sunbreak.
Sure.
Literally came out today, and it has already broken the concurrent player record on Steam for any Monster Hunter game, which is only the other one.
I was going to be like, whoa, really? And then just for any... So what is that? Iceborne?
So it's Monster Hunter World and Iceborne. So, but it beat it by a pretty decent margin. So,
I'd hope so.
I think the, what was it? The peak player at all times for Sunbreak was 194,459 people.
Okay.
Concurrently, which is pretty good. Almost a quarter of a million people playing Sunbreak at launch. And it just like blew away any of their other records for the game.
Considering it was in the middle of a work week, I'm surprised that it still had that many people.
Yeah, maybe on the weekend it'll start cranking it out.
I'm sure.
We'll see. Phil Spencer. Remember I was making fun of Phil Spencer?
Yeah.
Because he's like, man, it's important to release games in Japan. Yeah. I'm like, LOL, Xbox releasing games in Japan? Who gives a shit, right? Joke's on me, because it turns out that for like the past 3 or 4 weeks, Xbox has been outselling the PS5 in Japan.
Yeah.
And it's mainly to do with just inventory.
Like, yeah, it makes sense.
The PS5 cannot make like more than they can right now, and it's dunking on PlayStation currently. I guess Japan even has their limits of waiting for their Nippon console to be available.
Yeah.
But you know what? Phil Spencer, my apologies, dude. I thought you were talking out of your ass, but the numbers don't lie. All right. You got the data. It works. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. God damn. That's pretty sick. It turns out that From Software has been working on multiple projects, as well as making Elden Ring. And they are planning to release, I think, 3 new games relatively soon.
Yeah.
Which, if you know From Software, that's crazy.
Because
they make like one game and then wait 5 years and then make another game or release another game. So the president, the Hidetaka Miyazaki, he came out and he said, the fact that they've been able to do Elden Ring at such a scale is because of like their staff, and because of how well Elden Ring has done, they're allowing them to do more projects. And so it's not just Miyazaki making games, it's different directors making games, which is really exciting, just because that team has constantly made good Souls games, but I would like to see them kind of
do something else,
do something like they used to do, you know,
like
Steel Battalion.
Did they do that?
They did Steel Battalion. From Software did Steel Battalion.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
All
I know is they did Armored Core.
They also did Armored Core. That's true. And the remake's coming out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I really want to see From Software kind of get into their more creative zone now that the kind of the Souls game is funding all of their company. So, yeah, they have, quote, 3.5 titles coming out, where I think they counted this VR title as like a half. But Sekiro is one, and then the remaining two titles are unannounced. So
like a sequel to Sekiro,
maybe a sequel, maybe just a brand new IP. They haven't said anything yet, but their newest game that is next on the docket, they said, is in the final stages of development. So they might announce something around Gamescom, who knows.
But who cares?
I care.
No, I mean, like, this means nothing.
What are you talking about?
Until I see something, anything is meaningless. All right, this is the
Kingdom Hearts situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
You know what else is in the final stages of development?
What?
Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, it is, all right? It's going to come out tomorrow.
Okay.
That's the prediction.
Okay. Okay.
I'll put money on it. No. And then the last one I have is that Skate 4 is back in the scene.
Yeah.
Because they have released pre alpha footage.
Yeah.
And this game
looks
like it's in pre alpha.
Yeah.
Because they are just showing like geometry meshes with no like overlays, and it's just like, here's where we test with no textures and stuff like that. But some interesting gameplay stuff has come out of that, especially when it comes to off the skateboard stuff. It seems like they're giving you a lot of like parkour options almost.
Yeah.
Of being able to get around the city. There's one where you're like swinging across monkey bars and stuff. You can like climb up ledges and shit now, which like doesn't sound like anything, but for skate, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Because hopefully now the levels are all created with like more verticality, and then you can do like really cool sessions and whatever.
Yeah.
The one I really liked too was they showed a guy doing like a Smith grind or like a crooked grind. And he turned the board mid-grind so that the board wouldn't hit like a bike rack. And I thought that shit was really cool. So it sounds like they got a lot of really cool ideas. But the main thing from this pre-alpha footage is that if you can get into the site, you can now sign up for closed betas.
Okay.
If you go to the it's on the Twitter account. Yes, skate.game/insider.
What do you mean you forget to the site?
So I tried to register for this beta
earlier.
First time, crashed.
Yeah.
Second time, I was put into a queue.
Ooh.
The queue was 3 hours.
Ooh.
And then I was like, I'll try later.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, if you can get in and you wanna wait in that digital lineup,
yeah,
you can possibly be chosen to play in the Skate closed betas.
Cool.
And those are,
I think for Skate, the only thing I want, like the only thing I think this game needs, apart from whatever things that they're including, is they gotta steal the persistent online world that's in Riders Republic.
True.
They gotta steal that.
They gotta take that shit.
Like, cause that, I think that changes everything.
They all, like, they used to have like the online lobbies, but it was maxed to like 8 players.
Yeah.
And then if you like went out of a certain realm within the open world,
yeah,
they're like, go back.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like truly,
yeah,
asynchronous multiplayer, but yeah, if they do the Riders Republic thing, that'd be,
yeah, I'm not saying sick. You need like thousands of people.
Yeah, because if this game comes out, it's gonna be popular. And I don't want to see just a sea of skaters.
Yeah,
right?
but
populate people in here and there, all that stuff.
Absolutely. Especially because they're going to be smaller arenas, right?
Yep.
So I think that'd be cool.
Like maybe I could like see a guy who's in the spot and we're both trying the same thing.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah,
and have some sort of like interaction system, people just chilling out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
Like they have to build their social whatever.
Social hub.
Yeah, I think that'd be neat.
You're right. They should do that. But those are my picks.
Cool. I got 2 short ones. So first of all, Sony
has
a follow-up to one of your stories a couple weeks ago.
The rumored peripherals that they were making.
Bro, they've entered the gaming peripheral scene. All right,
tell me about the PlayStation Elite controller, dude.
There is none.
Fuck.
And it's not branded as PlayStation. It's also not branded as Sony.
Well, I guess it's got to have the Sony logo somewhere.
No, it's just called InZone. Like our zone from Toys R Us, but in zone.
For some reason.
Bro, we in a gaming zone.
In zone, the name in
zone. Get into the zone.
Gives me like, you know, like the like third party, not off brand TVs that like every store has like their own internal.
It's Insignia. Like, Insignia. Dynex.
President's Choice.
Yeah. Great value.
Yeah. It gives me that kind of vibe.
I know.
And I'm just like, that sucks.
So they've done 2 things. Gaming monitor. And headphones.
Yes.
On the face of it, I would say they're probably like mid-range peripherals, but they're offering some cool stuff that it's actually really hard to find in a lot of in similar products. So for the monitor, like you're gonna hear 144 hertz.
Yeah.
I want to say it's a 4K panel because it's PS5 compatible and PS5 only supports 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, those things do exist anywhere, but they have 2 features in this monitor that I couldn't find on anything else, at least for a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
And that was VRR, so variable refresh rate.
Yep.
But the thing is, they have local array, full array local dimming. You know what that is?
This is the thing that has to do with HDR, right?
Yeah, so certain parts of the screen will light up and darker, mm-hmm. depending on how bright the scene needs to be. It's really cool if you have it. But again, a lot of monitors don't have it because a lot of monitors are like, they're just not built with the idea of television content in mind. So, which blows my mind because I'm surprised that more monitors and TVs just aren't the same product.
I feel like Razer made a TV that's like 1 millisecond lag, but also like has TV content in mind. But I think that shit's like $1 billion. So.
Well, I don't know, because like LG, the TVs they make are pretty much just the best gaming monitors you can buy now.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, because they have the zero...
0 millisecond latency?
I think it's like 0.001.
That's pretty
Like it's
sick.
Theoretical, but it's...
That's cool.
Yeah. Like that's what my TV is, right? So
I should get that.
Instead of full array, it's just each individual pixel turns on and off.
That sounds even better.
It is better, but that's why it's so expensive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So... but yeah, no, so it's cool. The headphones, I think, are, again, mid-range, which is, I'm a little bummed because, like, why did they make the Pulse headsets? Because these ones are clearly better.
They're also, like, they're cans. They are large.
Yeah,
they're
gamer
headphones.
Yeah, they're hella in, they get you in the zone.
Yeah, they're in zone.
But yeah, I mean, like, we'll see. This is just the beginning. The video showed off, like, a chair. A desk, a keyboard, a mouse.
Yeah.
So we'll see like how far those conceptual ones take it.
Yeah.
But hey, if you thought that you didn't want to buy SteelSeries or Razer or Logitech or Corsair, mm-hmm. Sony's got your back.
Dude, you know what this? You know what the monitor is missing?
What?
That two-player 3D technology.
Oh, the last time they did
TV? Yeah, that was sick. Bring that back, baby.
No, because you need glasses.
Yeah, just supply the glasses.
No one wants to wear glasses.
I want to wear glasses.
You got laser.
Okay, yeah, I want to. That's why. I miss it, dude. I miss looking smart.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with 3D glasses?
With 3D glasses. Shut that's
up.
The future.
Shut up. Shut up. Today's the 30th, and tomorrow is July 1st. You know what that means?
Canada Day, baby.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Wait, what else could it be?
Start of the Tour de France.
Who cares?
The biggest bike race.
Surrender Nation? Get out of here.
Bro, I'm into it. I love this time of year because it's when all the great bike brands come out and they show off all the coolest tech that no one can afford or get their hands on, but I want. And usually it's because it's at the biggest bike race in the world, they show off like all the bleeding edge shit. Mm-hmm. This year, Shimano, the Japanese giant, did something different. They said, we're bringing out tech for the masses.
All right.
We're bringing electronic shifting to the people. Mm-hmm. And they've basically brought out electronic shifting at their lowest category of group set.
So that means it's also cheaper?
Yeah, it's significantly cheaper. Nice. So like, I guess if I were to say in the cycling world, there's five tiers of gear you could buy.
Okay.
There's Jura Ace at the top.
All right.
Ultegra for like enthusiasts.
Right.
105 is the middle one. That's what I ride. It basically
Ultegra, the allergy med.
Yeah, that's the
yeah,
one.
All right.
Allegra.
Oh, there we go.
Allegra.
There
yeah. Go. And then that's there's awesome. And then there's Tiagra and Sora, which are the beginner ones.
Okay.
But ideally, if people get really and they get really into cycling, 105 is the minimum you want because it gives you the most. It gives you the same amount of gears as the top two. It's just heavier.
Okay.
For a long time, they Shimano has always said, we're never offering electronic shifting to 105 because that should be reserved for the higher end tiers.
Yeah.
And this year, they're like, yeah, okay, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, we like money.
Yeah. Which is nice because I've been following, obviously, the bike scene,
mm-hmm.
especially through COVID. And what used to happen is bike brands would have like a halo product, right?
Okay.
And like, obviously, like it's like a $15,000 bicycle. Yep. No, you are not going to buy this.
Yeah.
But then they make lower end versions, right?
And they're like, look at all this tech we learned from this bike.
Yeah.
So we're going to put some of it in the cheaper bike.
Yeah. So then these are the lower bikes that you and I will actually buy.
Yeah.
In the past couple of years, bike brands have stopped making that lower end bike.
Because
supply of supply constraints. Okay. They've just focused hard on the upper end.
Mm-hmm.
So like the bike I have now, my Cervelo, you can't buy that because it doesn't exist anymore. It's just if I want to replace it, you'd have to go out and get the super high-end race bike that starts at $10,000. So seeing Shimano come out and bring more value-oriented products is nice to see.
Okay.
Which is great because it means that next year, hopefully when this hits all the bikes, I'll have a greater selection of items to choose from, which are still going to be fairly pricey because even though I say this is affordable, like make no mistake, these are only going to show up on bicycles costing around $4,000 or more.
Okay.
So like, it's not, I'm not going to say it's cheap.
I'm not going to pretend.
You know, like it's not even affordable. I will just say it's attainable. Okay. So like, if you want like wireless gears, like electronic shifting and whatever, it's attainable. It's not like this pie in the sky. I'm never going to get it, mm-hmm. but it's finally getting there. And I like seeing that kind of stuff. So I'm happy.
All right.
Cool. Anyways, yeah. Those were my picks. Let's take it to a question to chew on.
All right.
Paul Chu writes in, what are some of the examples where something that was disappointing was definitely worse than if it was actually bad? We're talking something like X-Men 3, which by most standards was just fine at best, but following X-Men 2 made it so much more worse. Rush Hour 3.
Yeah.
Rush Hour 3. I hate to say it, but man.
Compared to the first two movies.
Yeah, especially with the time gap.
And like, it's not bad.
No, not at all. But like, the expectation was so high, it can never meet it.
Yeah. I think more recently for me is when I was in school and I took that that comic book course.
Yeah.
I had read the, was it Dark Phoenix? The comic?
Yeah.
And then I watched the movie.
Oh, no.
And, like, I don't, like, Dark Phoenix, I don't think is, it's bad if you compare it to the comic. Like, it's garbage.
Yeah.
But in a vacuum, like, if you just saw the movie, like, that's such a middling movie. And the, like, the content of what, who Dark Phoenix is so interesting that the fact that they just kind of, like, drop the ball kind of sucks. And, like, I guess, yeah, that's, that was Paul's example, too, of another X-Men movie, right?
Yeah.
Just, that whole franchise just keeps dropping the ball when it comes to,
oh, yeah,
their movies, their cinematic universe.
Yeah.
That, yeah, kind of sucks.
Yeah, for sure. what was I going to say? The PlayStation 3.
It's funny you bring that up. Me and one of my friends, we were talking about the PS3 is probably the worst PlayStation so far.
No, it is. It's not probably. It, oh, is.
Yeah. Yo, but the cell processor, though.
I know. Considering the hype coming off of the PS2. Yeah. The first, like, 4 years of the PS3 fucking sucked.
Do you remember? I was reminded of, do you remember the news story of when the government bought a bunch of PlayStations?
Yeah,
The U.S. Air Force, yeah, they connected 1,760 PS3s to build a supercomputer,
yeah,
at 5% of the cost of competing technology, and it ran faster.
Yeah.
Like, that console had so much potential, but Mark Cerny is such a nutcase that nobody wanted to develop for it and take advantage of the core processors. So
yeah, I mean, it's but that's still, like, that doesn't escape us today, right? Like,
yeah, that's
right.
Like, but I'm just saying, like, that's the reason, like, it's so middling.
I know.
It's like the technology was so awkward,
yeah,
that nobody could really take advantage of it other than first party games.
I mean, like, PCs are still like that. They still have that problem.
Yeah,
right. Like, I don't know, I think my PC has what, 16 cores.
Mm-hmm.
But most games are programmed for single-threaded applications.
What's that? What's that meme? It's like who the cares? One guy lifting the weight. Yeah. And it's core one.
Yeah.
And then it's all the gym bros behind him. Yeah. Core one, core two, core, yeah, three, core four.
It's wild.
Yeah. So yeah. It's, yeah, like, oh, there's so much power available, but nobody, yeah, takes advantage.
But
of it.
But like it was more than that too, because, like, the PS3 was also, like, the most expensive console at the time.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it had all this stuff, and then out of the blocks, it was just like
you could run Linux on it.
Yeah, it had all these, like, like, weird niche ideas that you're like, yeah, cool,
sounds
cool.
Sick.
Like, it had HDMI. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Well, that was...
Xbox 360 did not have HDMI.
No, but I'm saying, like, they were... That was a correct one. Like, they were ahead of the game.
No, it did, but yeah, it's just, yeah, like... But then no one had the TVs yet, right? Like,
I had the TV.
When the PlayStation 3 came out?
No, I bought okay, an HDTV, like, 2 years,
like,
later.
No fucking way. There's no way.
I was on the bleeding edge.
I was like, you spent all your money on the PlayStation. You couldn't afford a TV.
I bought that shit aftermarket, too.
Yeah, because, like, I had to use a monitor with, like, a DVI to HDMI,
oh, interesting,
adapter, okay, to do it. But, yeah, the PlayStation 3, like, what? Like, I remember that was the first time I felt betrayed by Japan. I was like, whoa, so the Japanese cannot. They're
not masters at, yeah, all times forever.
Like, they're too short-sighted. Like, they're like, we just want hardware and power. And then...
How do we use it? Figure it out, bitch.
Yeah. And there's like, you remember, like, oh, we got the PlayStation Store, and it was just like the shittiest, like.
The PlayStation 3 store is still like the shittiest online,
like,
shopping.
But do you remember
experience,
like, the first version of that store?
Yeah, it was dog shit.
Like, it was like, it felt like a mobile webpage.
Yeah, it was bad.
Before we got HTML5,
like, apps
on it.
Yeah. Came in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, they didn't have Rumble in the controller.
Dude, you didn't need it.
Oh my God, get
bro,
stuff. Get
we're
off
talking
this.
Talking about six axis, all you need, it's so light that you forget it's in your hands.
I forget that you don't have a PS5 and,
dude,
you do not have haptic
triggers. What are you
triggers.
Talking? You don't need it. Dude, oh, that's all extra.
Oh, get out of here.
Games should get rid of Rumble, all right?
Are you kidding? I just spent like $1,000 on buying a steering wheel because of its Rumble.
Yeah, you should get rid of it.
Oh my God.
Games should get rid of Rumble.
Oh man.
The six axis was perfect.
He doesn't mean this.
I don't mean
he
it.
He doesn't mean this.
This is deep irony. Like, next levels of sarcasm.
Yeah.
But I, unironically, though,
yeah,
cross-media bar is my favorite menu.
Okay.
I
sure.
love the cross-media bar. It's so simple.
I don't know.
Like,
it's whatever.
It's a little clunky in spaces, but I think it's better than the PlayStation 4 UI. I think it's better than the Xbox One UI.
I don't even know what the PlayStation 4 UI is anymore.
It's just two bars.
So it's the cross-media bar.
No, but there's no verticality in any of the sections. It's just a bar that goes this way until you hit library, and then it gives you a list. And then the other one is also just a bar.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And then, like, the Xbox One is kind of just like, here's a file folder. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
You love folders.
I do love folders. Folders are pretty sick, not gonna lie. Yeah. Nesting folders.
Okay.
What else is like middling? Maybe like the second Kingsman movie.
Yeah, okay.
Like in,
sure.
All, but also in, like
I remember that being bad. Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't terrible.
Yeah. For sure. Quantum of Solace fucking sucks.
Dude, best James Bond
off
movie.
Off of the back of the best James Bond movie? Oh my god.
Was Quantum of Solace before or after Skyfall?
Before.
Okay, then it was before the best James Bond movie.
No, it was after the best
James Bond movie. No, it was before. Because Skyfall is the best James Bond movie.
Casino Royale is the best James Bond movie.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? It's garbage. You're tickling me. Do it again.
What?
The part where he's getting his balls smashed in by Hans, whatever, Mads Mikkelsen.
I was going to say, well, Hans Gruber?
Hans
no.
Gruber.
No. No.
It's the who's wrong Han, movie. Who's Hans Gruber?
I forget. Hans Gruber. Oh, fuck. What's it? It starts as, it's Jesus. Fucking called? I forget.
Oh, he's the Hans Gruber's the villain Alan Rickman played in Die Hard.
Ah, yes.
That was it.
That's the one.
That's the one.
I don't know why it was escaping me, but yeah, that's Hans Gruber.
So good.
Yeah, I don't know.
The middling question is hard because, like, you don't remember it because it's so bad, and then you also don't remember it because it's good, and it's just like in this purgatory of your memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, that's a toughie.
It is.
I'm sure I'll think of something like later next week or whatever.
Absolutely. I'm going to we're going to hit stop and I'm going to go like,
oh, this thing.
Yeah, this
I
thing.
I forgot about
this
it.
This thing really sucked.
On purpose.
Holy moly. Cool. I'll tell you what sucked.
Jet Li's Rise to
Call of Duty World at War.
I don't know if I played that one.
The one right after Modern Warfare.
Oh. Like, and then CD4. Was Black Ops after that one?
No, after that was Modern Warfare 2.
Okay. And then when did Blops come out?
I think that was after 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember.
All right, I'm Team Infinity Ward. Treyarch games suck.
Because I remember when World at War came out, and it was like back to the Vietnam thing. I was like, what are we doing? We're past this. Garbage.
Terrible.
It's garbage.
Devil May Cry 2. No, that's just bad. That's actively bad.
Off of the first one?
Off of the first one.
I think they're both bad.
The first one hasn't aged very well. But at the time, Devil May Cry 1 was pretty sick.
Okay. Sure. You know what? Fine. Sure. Yeah. Fine. I'll give you that.
Middling games, dude.
What?
Drakengard 3.
Okay. But the first two weren't exactly like.
The first two were wild.
Yeah. But they weren't exactly. We all didn't like. They're not household name classics.
Are they not? Dude, in my house. All right. We respect the Drakengard.
Oh, really?
Right.
I'm going to ask your dad about this.
He knows.
All right.
So imagine that. Like, if the first two games aren't like household names, and then 3 was also super middling. Like, I think 3 was. It's one of those mediocre games that I can't stop. I couldn't stop playing.
Oh, God.
Right? It was like, what was that Koei Tecmo Musou game? It was like All Stars or whatever.
Koei Tecmo Musou game?
Yeah, where it was like Dynasty Warriors was it Koei All Stars, I think?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, Warriors All Stars.
Okay.
You probably remember the thing. Like, you remember like the
Oh yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
And
yes.
It just had like every character from like Koei Tecmo games in it. Mm-hmm. And it was a Musou.
Yeah.
That game is like the most 5 out of 10 game I've ever played in my life. But it didn't stop me from putting like 60 hours into it. Because for some reason, I just kept playing it.
I just couldn't stop.
It was like a Lay's chip. It was like super mediocre, but I ate the bag.
Wow. Okay.
Like a Lay's regular. Like Lay's ketchup, that's just a bomb. That's like a 9 out of 10 chip. Not going to lie.
You know what's pretty bomb right now?
What?
Have you had the barbecue plus sweet chili heat?
What? If you say Dorito, I'm out.
No, it's a Lay's.
Oh, it's a Lay's?
Okay. It's a fusion.
I should try that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. There's another one, white cheddar plus dill pickle. Not as hot. The other one is Cheeto cheese plus ketchup.
That's gamer food right there. God damn. That's the realest gamer food. Some Mountain Dew Code Red on the side.
I know.
Woo.
Anyways, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, because it's the thing where it's like you don't remember it because it's so middling.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to take the next question from Peter?
Sure. Peter writes in. Wait, what did we? Peter is pondering. If he should get...
Pondering Petey?
Pondering Petey writes in with a question.
Oh, God.
Hello, Jens. I think he means gents.
Yes.
But speaking of hobbies, you guys ever got into the whole keyboard craze as one of your hobbies? What kind of keyboard setup are you currently rocking? such as Equinix. Is that how you pronounce that?
Sure. Icon.
Or Keychron, etc. Mm-hmm. What's your keyboard game, Vince? We're going to start with the first part of this question.
I have researched the keyboard scene, mm-hmm. not because I was interested, but because it doesn't appeal to me, but I wanted to understand it.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you got to be real anal to like be into the keyboard scene.
Yeah.
Like you got to be super anal about shit. Because it's like, hear this click. Hear this click. You hear that like...
Did you hear those clicks?
Hear that like five degree frequency ping? I did, and I hate it. Yeah. So I got to loop these keys.
I want
to die. Got to put some dampers. Like that shit doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love tactile feedback, and I love keys that you have to push through and feel. But I like it just as a... it just satisfies my things to touch.
Yeah.
But in terms of productivity, it actually doesn't do anything for me. Like,
I just like hearing the noise, like clickety clack.
Yeah. Like, and I don't mind the sound either. Like, I like it. But like, if it comes down to what kind of keyboard I actually like typing on, like, believe it or not, I'm the most productive on a MacBook keyboard.
Interesting.
Like the Chiclet style, not the one with the butterfly switches, but the scissor switches
they have now.
That's, for me, the best keyboard to type on, like, bar none. At the moment, I have a 10-keyless Razer Huntsman Tournament Edition mm-hmm. that's optical mechanical. I think they are Razer's version of Cherry MX Reds. So they're not the loudest. They have a good amount of feedback to them. For typing, I will say they're hypersensitive, and I ended up getting a lot of spelling errors, mm-hmm. like, quickly, but I picked it not because I'm a typer, but because I'm a gamer and I needed the WASD to be ultra responsive.
Damn, son.
Yeah. And yeah, but it's got universal layout, so I have a couple of different keys swapped for like different colors and whatnot. I have white, pink, and black, but currently I only rock the black and pink.
All right, cool. I have the Corsair K95 Platinum.
Wow.
This shit, it's like, it's got the full numpad. It's got extra gamer macro keys on the other side of it. It is a full size plus some keyboard.
Wow.
I think it came with like, I think it was it MX Reds? Was it Cherry? I don't remember what the color was, but it's like the speed version of whatever that is.
Yeah.
So like if like a light breeze passes by this keyboard, like it detects it.
Yeah.
So like when you're gaming.
You're gaming.
Like, the lightest touch
Sick.
Is doing stuff. It took me a long time to get used to those switches.
Yeah.
Because I used to really like to just, like, rest my fingers on the buttons. But because these are so sensitive, like, I would just be like, hey, right? Yeah, or, like,
Do you have a wrist rest?
I do. It came with one. It's not separate. But the keyboard's really sick. I've just, like, over the years, I've started to realize it's too wide.
You got too many keys for your needs?
I got too many keys for my needs. I like, so there's the one thing, it's got the USB pass-through on the keyboard itself. So when you plug in the keyboard to the back, it's two USB switches. But that's because one is just diverting power to this pass-through, right? So I keep my webcam there. So when I'm not using my webcam, I unplug it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just too wide. And like my arms are just like out to each edge of my desk.
Yeah.
Like it's just too much. So I'm looking to kind of bring it down. Maybe what was it? It's the one where it just doesn't have the numpad anymore, but it still has the separated like home and print screen keys.
TKL, 10 keyless.
10 keyless, probably that one.
Yeah. Or you can go like, I think it's 70% where it's the same thing, but there's no gap. They just compress it.
No, I don't think I want that. I think I want the 10 keyless. So I've been looking at other stuff. I almost bought that Gundam keyboard from a while ago.
So speaking of which, I think Asus makes that. Asus has another collab, and I want that keyboard.
What is it?
It's Ava.
Oh, no.
It's purple and green.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Am I going to buy the Shinji keyboard?
It's so sick. I got to show you this
keyboard. That looks really cool.
The ROG.
The ROG X Evangelion.
RX EVA Edition, the ultimate EVA equipment designed by ROG. Look at that bad boy.
But see, that's too wide.
I know.
I want the 10-less, dude.
I know, but look at it.
True. It does look fucking sick. Look at that.
I think they give you optional. They do give you optional key switches.
Oh, of course they do.
They give you like lime green enter buttons.
Even the key tool is cool.
Yeah.
God damn. Bro.
Like, I kind of want to just buy it.
Do it.
We'll see. Amazon Prime Day.
But yeah, I've been looking at Ducky keyboards.
Oh yeah, like the Ducky 1-1.
Yeah, those are really nice. I just don't know how small I want to go. I think I got to do some more research or like go to like a Canada Computers and start testing shit or something.
I think, yeah, the cool thing about Ducky is like now they're pretty mainstream.
Yep.
So you could just buy them.
You just pick them up.
Yeah.
I also like the keyboards that have like, because mine, the cable that connects into the board is like hard wired into the motherboard. But like yours is, and the Ducky's, like they're separate cables, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like those.
Then would you buy like a separate cool looking?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Yeah, 100%.
What a loser.
Like if I ever get new like audiophile headphones, I'm buying custom cables
for my headphones. Yeah. I like having a detachable cable. But what I really like about my keyboard is that the cable connects all the way on the left side, not the middle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mine's dead center.
Yeah. I just like when it picks to one side just because, well, I guess the left side. I wouldn't like it on the right because my mouse would be there. Yeah. But, yeah.
Mine is because it's the two USBs going out. It's an extra thick cable coming out, and then it splits off into two near the end there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Keyboards are cool.
Yeah, keyboards are cool. The thing that makes it, like, very tough to get into it is that it's a patient man's game, because every time you see something, it's always like group order this,
sold out that.
Yeah, like anytime you see something cool, you can't just buy it. It's like you gotta get in on the ground floor.
Also, like,
how would you know?
Custom keycaps are so expensive. Like,
yeah, I know, they're like $170. You're like, what does this come with? And you're like, oh, these are just the caps.
No, this is just the cap.
It's like, what?
Put it on the switches you already own.
Yeah,
like, holy shit.
Yeah, lubed them switches.
Like, I would. Lubing switches is too far, but I would like a custom
soldering one
like
switches to your board.
Hell yeah,
that's too far,
dude. Just buy a soldering gun. I have one. It's so easy.
See, like, that's too much work.
So easy. And so the other part of his question is: lastly, I've been thinking of some ideas for reorganizing my office space and looking into adjustable stand-up desks. I started with a budget of $150. What the?
You're not getting anything.
Hand crank.
You're not even getting a good desk for $150.
To now, a $900 desk with dual motors that can lift 355 pounds, including bamboo quality, top surface, stationary C-frame. Do you guys own any that you can recommend? No.
No.
No, we do not.
No.
There are so many people doing it on YouTube about their office setups, and it really does trigger me to spend any more than I should. Well, you're going to have to, because if you want anything cool, you're probably spending a grand.
Yeah, minimum. Like office equipment is very expensive. You can't, and it's something I probably wouldn't recommend cheaping out on.
Yeah.
Considering how much time you spend at your desk, you probably, it's probably the one few things that I would always just say, don't cheap out. Just get the best quality stuff you can afford.
You know, I've always said I needed a Secret Labs chair, and I was going to get one as soon as possible because I know I needed it. So I got one, and no one else had to talk me into it ever.
Oh, shut your face.
And it was totally worth it, honestly.
I'm telling you now, get a better desk.
I can't do that yet. When I get maybe my own place, I'll do that.
So the thing about the stand-up desk is, honestly, as long as you get a good quality desk and legs, you're good to go. You'll probably live just fine with a hand crank. Sure, you have to do it yourself, but honestly, it's not that big of a deal. As long as it's got a good system in place, it's not like you're like cranking a car engine. Yeah. Like, it's very easy to do. Electric motors is literally just for convenience. Like, I have the electric ones at work. They're fine.
Yeah. I got them too. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're fine. They work, but whatever. I've also used ones with a hand crank. Those are also fine. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the quality of the desk of, and especially the legs, like how stable it is, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want a desk that's gonna flex. Yeah, I don't know.
The only thing that'd be flexing is you. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, like, office desk setup, like, there's a lot of cool things, but you actually just have to ask yourself, like, what am I actually using, right? Because so many people have all these neat little things on their desk, but that's part of their workflow. I would say don't worry about getting that stuff if you're not using it.
Yeah, that's exactly why I needed to get that shin getter. Because it's on my desk, and it's helping me with my ergo.
Wow. Right? Like, because, like, you see people have cool, like, boom arms and mics.
Yeah.
But if you're not using that stuff,
yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. Right? You don't have to go full setup all at once, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like on my desk, like, I have an RD interface and a Stream Deck, and, like, that stuff is cool.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't need that kind of stuff. Like, if you're not using it, then what's the
point? I would say the necessities are like chair and just the mainstay desk. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Monitor arms are extra.
No, I think you need monitor arms.
I think a lot of, at least the monitors I've bought, they have a lot of like adjustable stand options.
It's not for that.
So
it's for space.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's literally just a space saving thing.
Fair enough.
Right? Because like so many, especially if you get a bigger monitor, like something above 27 inch, the legs you get are just gigantic. Right?
Yeah.
And I would say the other thing that's really cool to get is like a giant mouse pad. I don't think you need one as big as mine. Like mine is very large.
This is a desk
mouse pad. Yeah, like I have a desk pad, but like I think a big mouse pad is very nice to have.
About a hard mouse pad?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Just quickly, like you can wipe it down whenever you need to.
Yeah, it's cool. But yeah, so I think that's cool. I also like wireless chargers.
Yeah, you have a lot of them.
I do have a lot of them. I have them everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just convenient.
All right, okay.
You just drop your phone. My one in the front is magnetic.
Yeah, that one is cool.
Yeah.
I like that one.
It's great. I love it. It's cool.
So yeah, you know, you don't have to spend your life savings, but...
But you should.
But do it anyways, pussy. But yeah, those are the questions.
Cool.
Go on to our weeks.
Sure.
I'll start because mine's a little bit short.
Ooh.
You guys have talked about it for like two seasons now.
Yeah.
Season 3 is coming out. You show me a lot of clips.
So
I have been finally catching up with The Boys.
The Boys.
The superhero show everyone's clamoring about.
How much have you watched?
So I'm on issue 5
What?
Of the comic, baby. Oh,
no. So you won't even understand the conversation.
So I don't know how differently the show takes from the comic.
Just watch it.
But so far, it's the same premise, just a lot of the settings are different. So actually, I didn't realize this. The Boys, the writer of that, something Enos? What was it? Enos. What's his name? Author.
I don't know.
Dude. Garth Enos. He actually wrote a bunch of the Punisher and Punisher Max comics that I love. And apparently Garth Enos is just like, he also made Preacher. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, he's just like, the world is shit. Everything sucks.
Yep.
Darkness and death.
Darkness.
And then you die.
Darkness.
And I kind of like all this stuff. I kind of like everything I've read from him before, so far. And it's no surprise that this comic is very good.
Oh my God.
It's very, very good.
Oh my God.
So far from what I've seen, either for clips of the show and from what I've read, it seems like it's following it pretty much to a T, except for certain things. So in the show, what's his name? The guy who gets his girlfriend fucking turned into liquid.
What?
Who's the guy in The Boys, the first episode, where A-Train runs through his girlfriend? What's his name?
Oh, the main character?
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah. So him, like, the way that scene happens, it's not just them on the street in the comic, and then she gets liquefied. It's them at, like, a carnival, and they're, like, celebrating their love or whatever. And then while they're, like, kind of doing a little dance, A-Train runs through her. He's holding her arms. And then she, instead of, like, getting liquefied, she's, like, pancaked up against a brick wall.
Oh.
Because he was chasing some other dude.
I mean, like, it's sort of the same thing in the show.
Yeah.
They are dancing around on the sidewalk.
Okay.
And, like, they're celebrating their love.
Yeah.
And they're kissing on the curb where he's holding her.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like it's doing it a lot of the same stuff, but like stylistically they change it for TV
of things.
This series is fucking hardcore, dude.
Yeah, man. Poor Starlight.
Does when that girl joins the Seven, does she have to give next, like, what's his face, a blowjob?
Who?
Next, what's his name?
Homelander. Why?
Because in the comic, he's like, I got one more test for you, baby.
I mean, like,
suck my dick.
She gives it to the deep.
So in this one, he gives it to Homelander.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're following it pretty closely.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to watch.
Yeah, it's a rough read. It's a rough read, but it's over. So I kind of just want to read the comic and then go to the show after to see like the translation, I guess.
Yeah, because I think there's a recent episode in the show.
Wow. Not suitable for anybody.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Have you heard what the title of the episode's called?
The Herogasm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Crazy. I can't. Yeah, apparently that was something like in the comics when people read it, they're like, this what the wild. Fuck? Yeah. And then nobody thought they were going to translate it to the show, but
they did.
I guess they did. So yeah, I'm hoping to get through this and then I'm going to actually start watching The Boys. Just because I've always been in these types of adaptations, I've always wanted to know the original like source material first,
yeah,
rather than just like jumping into like the adaptation. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be good. And so the show, what I've seen of the show seems awesome. So, and the comic is awesome. So I can't imagine they're going to do it dirty. So yeah, it's really good so far. I'm hoping to
cool
get more or maybe even like finish it by next week. And then the other thing I've been doing is I've been reading a novel.
Novella.
On the commute. Because, you know.
Yeah.
All those commuting. So I've been reading this thing called Console Wars.
Yeah.
Sega, Nintendo, and the Battle That Defined a Generation by Blake J. Harris.
Mm.
This is a kind of like story retelling of the business war between Nintendo and Sega back in the mid to late 90s. You know, the whole Sega does what Nintendo don't generation.
Yep.
And so far, this book, if you're like a diehard gamer kid, this is a book to read or get on audiobook.
Okay.
Because they have Blake J. Harris has gotten interviews from people with really like deep insider information, and he has transformed those interviews into like a narrative. So the story is written like almost like a movie. Like you're in the executive shoes when they're making decisions. Like you're hearing their thought processes and stuff like that. So it reads more like a story than any sort of like nonfiction retelling of facts. And it makes it really interesting. I think on the back of the book, it mentions that it's going to be made into a motion picture soon. I don't know how true that is because I haven't heard anything about it. But so far, this book has been fantastic. This is like some real insider baseball shit. But if you want to get into like the nitty gritty of the war between Nintendo and Sega and how Sega of America kind of like dug Sega their own grave and stuff like that, it's really, really interesting. I would highly, highly recommend it.
So it's basically a documentary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But instead of like the narrator being like, and then so and so, it's like you're in the character's shoes type of thing.
So it's reality documentary,
I guess. Is that a genre?
So Drive Survive is.
Okay. So yeah, it's probably more of a reality documentary, but of stuff that happened in the past rather than the current.
Okay.
So I've just been mostly reading some, like this week is going to be the gamer week because Escape from Tarkov got a new patch.
Yep.
They got the new wipe.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Hunter Rise came out.
It did.
The Steam Summer Sale, came out. So I bought some stuff there.
Why? You have no time.
Dude, because I'm prepping for when I do.
What'd you buy?
I bought Inscription.
Okay.
I bought the, what's that, Exo thing? What's that game called?
What's it?
It's like you're a ball and you're going through space.
Oh.
You're just jumping off ramps and shit.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm opening up my Steam. I'll probably figure it out after.
Okay.
I bought the Cuphead DLC.
Did you play Cuphead?
I almost beat it.
Okay.
I got stuck on the dragon boss, and then I never went back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, XO1.
Oh, XO1. Okay, yeah.
And then I bought Slay the Spire.
Really?
Yeah, because I've been on that card game kick lately.
Okay.
So do some roguelike card games.
Okay.
It's been prepping for a gamer week, so this has been pretty chill. I did play some more with my my Risk the Redeem deck in MTG, some real life Magic cards.
Yeah.
I went to my friend's local game shop in the city, and there were two games where I was taken out first, but the next card I would have drew would have won me the game.
Hmm.
So it was like unlucky or lucky on their behalf, but unlucky on mine.
Oh, you just lost out of luck?
Well,
did they prep this time?
They hit me hard. So these were people I've never played with before.
Oh. Because
it was at the board game store. So I have this one, Bruna, Light of Alabaster. She's the one where when I attack, I can put all the auras, all the buffs all at once, right? So I was hitting this guy. He had a life gain deck. So usually with Bruna, if I don't have lethal on board, I just hit people who have the most life. And this guy, because he had life gain, smacking him, right? So I got him to a 11 commander damage.
Yeah.
Which in EDH, you need 21 commander damage to die, right? On then there's your regular 40 life.
Yeah.
Which you can also die, and then your 10 infect. So I hit him twice. I've never seen a saltier player in my life. It literally two turns. I hit him once. He's like, okay. And I hit him twice. And then like he just suicided himself to kill me. He had this artifact card. I forget what it's called. But the effect that it has is pay 50 life, deal 50 damage to a target.
Damn.
And you only have 40 commander damage.
That's my kind
or 40, you have only
that's
40
my
life.
Kind of player.
Yeah. So he doubled his life up to 70 something. And then he sacrificed 50 of his own life to kill me out of spite with Runa. But the thing was, the next card on my turn that I would have drawn is called Cataclysm. Cataclysm is a fucking brutal, brutal board wipe. It's, where is it? Converted cost is 2 and 2 white. Each player chooses among them one artifact, one creature, one enchantment, and one land, and sacrifice the rest.
Yeah.
And because Bruna is on the field, I only need one creature. And then when I swing, I get all my enchantments back, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I would have just reset the game to turn 2 and then started killing everybody. Mm. So that was unlucky.
Mm.
The second game I played with Riss, and I got this card called Seedborn Muse, where it's every time your opponents untap, you untap with them.
Yeah.
So you use all your shit on your turn and then untap it all.
Yeah.
Every turn. So I had the doubler out. By the time it got back around to almost my turn, I had 99 elf tokens on the battlefield. And then I died because every turn, they just all targeted me to try and kill me before I wiped
Played smart.
The card I drew with was called Cathar's Crusade. Or the card I would have drawn was called Cathar's Crusade. Cathar's Crusade is an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. So I had 99 creatures on the battlefield. Yeah. On my turn, I would have doubled them again. So then 99 creatures would have came in. They all see each other, put 99 +1/+1 counters on every creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have just like swung with the board and won. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, I almost won both times. But yeah, I did manage to go infinite one game, and that was pretty fun.
Cool.
And that playing competitive EDH is stupid. I don't recommend it, but I have a lot of fun.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's
I don't recommend it, but I've spent hundreds of dollars on it.
And I enjoy it very much. But also, if you're not in it, just stay away.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah, excellent.
So yeah, that's been my week.
Cool. So I got into the Gundam Evolution PlayStation 5 beta.
I only want to hear one thing.
What?
How's Barbados?
Good. Still good.
Still amazing?
Not as good as Sazabi.
Is he better?
Sazabi's so good. You got a shield and a shotgun. Only your shotgun can go long range.
What? What?
And then you have radar, which sees through walls. Oh my god. And then your ultimate is funnels.
Anime
and
games.
Funnels just take out anybody.
Does Sazabi have funnels in the show?
Yeah.
What the f- guy's OP.
He is.
God dang.
He's S tier with Barbatos.
That's crazy.
But the thing is, because Barbatos is so frail, you can just tank all the hits and shotgun him into
just
the face.
Shield. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So I like playing Sazabi and Dom, like a Dom trooper.
Mm-hmm.
Because that guy's just fun.
What, S tier and D tier?
Actually, no, I think Dom is like A tier.
Oh my god, top tier whore. God damn.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Gundam Evolution on PS5, I don't know what I was expecting because I played the PC version. The PC version is probably the ideal way to play.
Yep.
But I just thought that being on PS5, maybe I'd see something different. Truthfully, no. And I think like a big, I don't know if it's because it's the beta, but a big issue with this game is just the, I don't know if it's like server latency or whatnot, but like you just don't get that sense that you're hitting someone when you're hitting someone.
Interesting.
Right? Like, it just feels like it's a little too jank for its own
like
good.
Like, does it come in late, I guess? Like, you
yeah.
hit somebody, and
yeah.
then it kind of registers, like, a couple
yeah,
mils
but it's,
after?
Yeah, but it's not lag. It's like it's you know when you have, like, lag when you're playing a game?
Yeah.
It's not that. It's more just, like, yeah, I don't know what it is, server latency or something?
Weird. It's not lag, it's server lag.
Yeah, and like this is consistent with the PC version. I also thought that playing on controller, I'd get more feedback from shooting and hitting things, but it's definitely missing that. Like, you don't get that, like, I don't know, that thing that Call of Duty does so well when you, like, shoot somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get that responsiveness in this game, and I think it makes, like, all the guns feel kind of flat, even though they all do different things.
Okay.
But, I don't know. It's a beta, so we'll see. I know Anime Expo is this weekend, so they're doing a couple announcements, so we'll see what comes of that.
Yep.
I like it, though. I like it. Big problem is that, unfortunately, the game is not actually out yet, and Overwatch 2's beta has dropped.
All right.
So, like, I'm not playing Gundam anymore. Like, let's be real. Overwatch 2 is on Battle.net right now. Mm-hmm. It is the beta, and this is almost full Overwatch 2. Mm-hmm. They have all the new character designs in. They have all the new hero balances in there. Junker Queen's in there. Unfortunately, it's only restricted to just standard versus. Like, there's no other modes.
Okay.
And there's also no incentive to play. As in, like, there's nothing to rank up. There's nothing to do. It is a beta, right? So, like, that's all it is. It's literally just to test out the new things. For the most part, yeah, it feels like Overwatch 1 with just the change to the one tank. Mm-hmm. But that one tank is... It's interesting because now everyone has, like, a target to rally against, right? Like, everyone knows, like, you got to take out that tank.
Oh, okay.
Because the tank is definitely... And the tank is so hard to take out now. I do think that some tanks still need further changes or additions to just make them viable because, like, Roadhog has nothing to do to, like, in terms of helping your team. Mm-hmm. Roadhog has nothing. There's nothing Roadhog can do. Okay. Right? Like, Roadhog heals, Roadhog just shoots.
I heal myself.
Yeah.
And I shoot.
Like,
Roadhog
has nothing else that,
huh,
like, that a traditional tank could do. Junker Queen is amazing.
All right. I see the power creep coming,
like,
in.
Junker Queen has so many options.
Okay.
And because she's just a human, her hitbox is smaller.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Like, you just stand beside her. She does the war cry, instant speed, instant armor.
Okay.
Like, it's... Junker Queen saves the supports. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm seeing the pattern.
Yeah, and if she gets
in Sojourn and now her.
And if she gets in your face with that shotgun, like, goodbye.
Like, better than Roadhog?
It's not better than Roadhog, but it's good enough for your, like... the trade-off between her utility, mm-hmm, versus her outright offensiveness,
okay,
is totally worth it. Nice. Absolutely worth it. She's so cool. But yeah, still playing Ana. I think I might go with Brigitte for this, for Overwatch. So far, she's the one I like playing the most. Because, mm-hmm, AoE heals and just being aggressive, my kind of game. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun.
Okay.
That's Overwatch 2. But the big game I got was F1 22. Dropped on Tuesday. I think the official release date's July 1st, but I got the championship edition, which gives you, I don't know, like...
A couple days early.
Yeah, 3 days early. So I've been playing that. First, right off the bat, I'll tell you right now, I think in terms of the way the game is structured and its content, this actually isn't different, if at all, from last year's game.
So you're getting the Madden treatment. You paid for a roster update.
Yeah, the core game. Like, they've added some stuff in the... Like, they've added, okay, the big thing is they added supercars.
Okay.
So, like, you could drive the safety car, you could drive, like, you do hot laps on tracks, and it's, like, challenge missions, mm-hmm, which is cool. Don't know why you'd want to do that in a Formula One game, but they give you that option. Mm-hmm. The big change is that they have different cars, right? So, while the content has not changed, the fundamentals have changed, right? So, I guess the equivalent to a fighting game would be, like, when you move to a new fighting game and, like, all your characters are the same, but also slightly tweaked.
Yes.
That's basically what's happening, okay, here, right? Like, the cars generate downforce in a different way. Like, in the previous years, you have giant wings. The wings push air, and it forces the car into the road, right? It's pushing, yep, into the road. Yep. Now cars have tunnels underneath them, which, when they go faster, they get sucked into the road.
Interesting.
So, like, on the
Is
surface...
Is there really, like a difference there,
yeah,
in terms of handling?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference there. So, okay, like, in high-speed corners, you have way more downforce, but in low-speed corners, you have incredibly less.
So this sounds like more of a change, in, like, to bring it back to the fighting game analogy. Instead of, like, a Street Fighter 4 to 5, it's like a Street Fighter 4 to Super Street Fighter 4, where there's like balance changes within the characters.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah,
and like it's not the whole engine has changed. Like there's like brand new mechanics. It's more.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like in terms of like, yeah, you're right. It's not the mechanics. It's the physics have changed. Like the entire physics model has changed. Right. Yeah. So it's basically like I know all the courses. I know how these cars should drive, but then you have to relearn everything to adapt to the different cars. So learning the tracks all over again, you know, my breakpoints and like what I can do and this and that. It's been fun. The cars are, it's weird. Like in some areas I like driving them more because in the high speed stuff, they're just way more enjoyable. But in the low speed stuff, I hate them because they're just much heavier.
Yeah.
They don't feel nimble. They don't feel like a fun race car. You can just dart in. It's like, I really do have to brake and manage my stuff. I haven't done anything online yet, but so far it's good. I'll say the PC version is still super buggy. Like it crashes every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah. In my 10 hours of play, yeah.
That's kind of only 10 hours and it's already crashing.
Yeah. I've crashed dozens of times. No, I'm okay. Like maybe a dozen times. Yeah.
Okay.
So like it's not good.
That's pretty rough.
I mean, I will like, I don't know. The game doesn't launch officially until tomorrow. So we'll see if there's like a day one patch.
Day one patch.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, it's been lots of fun.
All right.
I mean, like this is the first game where EA is like, it's officially called EA Sports F122.
And that's why it's crashing, baby. They put that logo in front of it.
And so there's a store there. You could buy shit for like, oh yeah, that's the big thing.
What's your dream team?
They added, they call it F1 Life. It's literally just the lobby that your title screen, your home screen's in.
Okay.
So it's like, you could buy couches, you could buy, you know, like bookshelves and like lights and like what you want your avatar to wear.
Can I buy F1 trading cards and get the ultra rare Lewis Hamilton?
No, but you can go to F1.com and buy the real trading cards and get the ultra rare Lewis Hamilton. I thought about it.
You thought about getting signed in a coma Michael Schumacher?
Kind of want that. yeah, so like that's the F1 game. I like it a lot, but if you've played an F1 game before and you're like, I like this, you'll probably like this new one. Not really much to add in that regard. But yeah, it's fun. The cool thing is they added crossplay, so you can play with people on other systems.
Hmm.
So now I can play with like all my friends from work because they all have it on PlayStation 4, I think.
Okay.
So yeah. Oh, that's the thing. Because it's EA, they now instead, like other EA games, F1 now has an official soundtrack. Like, not an original soundtrack, like Charlie XCX is in it, like
okay,
and like it's all EDM and like electronica,
yeah,
which I guess fits the style, but yeah, it's weird hearing like licensed music in this game, but it's there, and I dig it. But yeah, and that's it. That was my week. Pretty low key, like you said. Monster Hunter is out as of today. Probably play some of that. If not, I don't know. I won't. But
you should.
I probably should.
Should.
I know you guys have started it.
Yeah. I didn't talk about it because I only played like the first two quests. But
I think I downloaded the patch when I got home.
You should start playing with the boys.
We'll see.
Friday's free?
No, it's not.
For both of us, it is. So you should get on.
My Friday is unavailable, as is my Saturday.
I'm gone Sunday.
And TJ's working.
True. So I guess you're solo gaming.
I guess I'm playing F1.
You gotta catch up.
I guess I'm playing F1.
Bruh.
I'm playing F1.
Bruh.
All right. Maybe I'll call Blaven. Maybe we'll just get on Sunday.
No, you do. He doesn't have it.
He will have it on Sunday.
When you force him to buy it?
Yeah, but let's go.
All right, I gifted it to you. Here you go.
No. He makes it up.
Absolutely not. He makes it. Yeah, true. He's making bank now.
Yeah.
Just cancel your plans, dude. Be social with the boys.
I'm social guys all the time.
No, once a week, all right? You're in for your mandatory court-ordered podcast.
Hell, yeah, I thought I was meeting the quota.
You never put any effort into this relationship.
Well, that's more than most guys, all right?
True. You haven't seen you in like 2 months. What's up, dog? Like,
yeah. Yeah, listeners, I'm talking to you guys. How often do you see your boys?
You see the boys.
How right? often, huh? I'm talking to you who are married or in relationships.
I feel like it should be at least once a week. I think that's the minimum.
Yeah, I bet it's once a month.
That's fucked up. How can you throw your boys under the
especially
bus?
Especially
like
got
that?
Kids.
You bring the kids to hang with the boys.
Ooh,
hell yeah.
Ooh,
father daughter bonding.
Next, you're gonna say you bring the wife to the boys.
No, that's That's illegal.
And you can't bring the kids.
Yeah, you can.
The kids will tell on you.
No, that's why you're like, don't tell on me. We'll go to Toys R Us.
And then the wife will be like, yo, what is this?
Yeah, he found it on the street. John got it for him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, when I bring my kid over to our hangouts, I'll be like, yo, TJ, he built this. Because he's an engineering expert. All right?
All right. All right.
Yeah, Vince got it for him. I couldn't say no. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Check your bank account. Yo, what?
So you're paying cash, kid. No paper trail. No receipt. No nothing.
Wow. Okay, cool.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Oh, jeez. That's the worst advice. That's the worst advice.
Dude, I work in finance. That's the only advice.
God. The scalability of that advice is awful. It's like you run a red light. It's only bad if you don't get caught.
It's only bad if you don't get caught.
You murder someone. It's only bad if you don't get caught.
It's only bad if you don't get caught. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, I don't make the rules. I just tell people about them.
All right. Thanks for listening. See you guys next week when we talk only Monster Hunter.
True. Bye.